Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Leadership Lounge. So if you haven't already seen us, we are powered by TDL, so make sure you go and check us out. All the links for this episode, our guests, are always in the show notes. If you're watching us on your YouTube channel, let us know how you get on. Make sure you hit subscribe as well. And if you're listening to us on your podcast provider, make sure you hit follow and always give us some feedback about your takeaways from the guests. As ever, we're after amazing people, amazing stories, and experts in their field. So today we're speaking to Rob. How are you?
I'm very good. Stuart, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Really excited to have you on because your background and your skill set really intrigues me. I don't know a lot about it, and I knew it was going to be a great conversation and how we can link it to leadership and how we can link it to people thinking, oh, that's really interesting as well, like interesting conversations. And we can definitely dig into some of the things that you've experienced in several different environments as well. So without further ado, Rob, if people who don't know who you are, as I hit the 20-minute timer, introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, well, thank you very much. So without wasting any more time, my name is Rob Hinton, and I am the owner of a company called Holdfast Elite Limited. We provide unique outdoor fitness experiences, which also provide team building, mental and physical health, fun, and a hugely rewarding experience for everyone.
Amazing. So I'm going to write a couple of things down just from that introduction, because you mentioned fun. I mean, we'll loop back to that. It was really interesting. So tell us, how did you arrive at this? What's your background? What's your skill set?
Okay, so really my story starts many years ago. I grew up in North Devon, and my father was a very, very committed swimmer and water polo player. He got me in the water from a very early age, about 4 years old, and I sort of naturally progressed into competitive swimming around about eight up until sort of 15, 16. So I developed quite a sort of passion for being in the water from that period of my life. When I got older, I sort of progressed into rugby, but I never left the water behind. And as a result of that, I spent the next few years sort of traveling the world, playing rugby in various places, but it got to the point where I was really, really looking for a career. So when I'd returned from one particular travel, I was in the gym one day and I bumped into a guy who turned out to be a saturation diver in the North Sea. I had a chat with this guy and he said to me, look, if it's diving you're interested in, the best way you can do this is to try out for the Royal Navy as a clearance diver. You'll get all your tickets that you need. And then eventually down the line, when you leave the Navy, you can go into commercial diving and then try out from there. So that stuck with me for maybe a year or so. And then eventually I ended up popping into the careers office in Exeter, sat down with a petty officer who said to me, listen, if you fancy sitting on the bottom of Pompey Harbour in pitch darkness, then maybe you should try out for the clearance diver branch. And as soon as I heard that, that challenge, I thought, well, yeah, I have to go for it. And it tied in with my love of water and also the sort of physicality and challenge that I'd always liked in my life. And so I went for it and then got to my week's aptitude. 29 of us on the aptitude, three of us passed. And then the next step was clearance diver course.
Amazing. And again, I know there's a lot more story and detail in there. Because again, that is not normally something somebody thinks about. And again, we're going to have conversations about getting, I've got aspirations to get somebody that's in the saturation diving, commercial diving world to come on the podcast as well. But I just think it's fascinating the environments that you have to deal with. So from our perspective of talking about leadership, tell us a little bit about the training element of what you need to go through, because I can imagine there's some element of comms in difficult environments with certain resources, even in pitch dark, like that you said that people are, how did you possibly achieve high performance and achieve a result when there's so many things against you. So tell us a little bit about the skill set of how you get trained and what that looks like.
So the clearance diving branch is unique. And what I mean by that is, because it's diving based, straight away, that is the ultimate barrier for anyone. So anybody can be extremely fit. Anybody can do what they want on the land. But the absolute clincher for a clearance diver is the diving, because you're in an environment where you have a certain amount of control, but to be honest, you're at the mercy of the elements pretty much all the time. So once you've mastered the diving, then that becomes something that makes you more efficient. But until you get to that point, you're always spending 50% of your time or more trying to stay alive under the water before you even get to the job that you're supposed to be doing. So when you go on to clearance diver course, it is extreme, because you're dealing with some people who've never dived before or who have very little diving experience. And then you're literally thrown straight into it. So you've got to learn, and you've got to learn fast. And the person that goes through the clearance diver course and passes is definitely a person who has that unique mindset, because it is not for everyone. And I've seen guys on my course in particular who are extremely fit, but when it came to being underwater and not being in control all the time, no, they didn't want it, and they couldn't handle it. And that's completely normal. That's normal in military diving, and it's also normal in scuba diving and commercial diving. So the course itself was, I think, 24, 25 weeks long. And the first phase of it, the first sort of 10 weeks or so, is really testing your character. So you'll spend literally hours and hours every day diving at Horsey Island. You're not allowed to walk as soon as you get in the main gates. So you're running everywhere. It's about a mile and a half for one circuit of the island. So you start at the main gates, you run up to the top end, then you're given a phrase that every clearance diver knows, awkward. As soon as you hear that word, you've got 2 minutes to get in your dry suit. Then you're running round, jumping off a 10 meter platform, straight away finning across the lake. That's your circuits. Then you're into your diving, 1,000 meter swims up Horsey Island underwater to the lock gates. If you don't make it, you come up where you were, climb out, run back with the set on, recharge all day. In between the diving is the mud runs, the log carries, the in and out, all sorts of physical beast things. And then you go into the night. So you're night diving right to the early hours of the morning. And that's week after week after week until you get to what they call live-in week. Live-in week is to simulate wartime conditions. So it's essentially a sleep deprivation exercise. You start 0800 Monday morning and you finish roughly sort of 1600 Friday, and you get a very, very minimal amount of sleep with diving operations all day and all night round the clock, as well as the physical testing that we've already spoken about. So by the time you get to the end of that, again, some of the courses, you were down to one or two people or less than 50%. And then you go on to the next phase, which is your mixed gas deep diving phase. You go up to Karlsruhe Loch Ausch. And then the culmination of the course is your underwater ordnance disposal and land-based ordnance disposal at DEODS, or what used to be DEODS, Defence Explosive Ordnance Disposal School. And then once you'd finished that, if you got through everything, that was you badged up as a clearance diver. So, you know, the course was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And it really, really made you understand that you were working in small groups. So it was essential that your mindset and ability to show initiative and act under pressure, literally, physically and metaphorically, was crucial.
So with that, obviously, appreciate the training element of that, and obviously it leads on. You mentioned then working in small teams. What elements of, in your perspective, perspective of individual and team elements, like, was there a team element check in that training as well, that you could work as part of a team? Because there's a lot of individual. Can you pass? Have you got the fitness? Have you got the mentality? Have you got the mindset? How do they get that kind of, like, have you got the ability, the character to be in a small team? Because we all know that's a lot different to being in a large team. It's quite character-based, isn't it?
Yeah, so again, going back to the branch itself, is the way it works is operationally, you've got your teams of, say, maybe 30, 35 guys, you know, spread across the UK. However, when you're conducting diving operations, you'll almost always be in small teams of four or five guys. So one guy will be the supervisor, and the rest of the guys will be the divers stroke tenders. So you're always working in small team environments. And that's where it goes back to is what you were saying before about communication and leadership. Is as a clearance diver, communication is absolutely crucial, because you're having to report your set before you go diving. You're having to give a running commentary underwater at times. You're having to deal with dressing other divers in, getting them out, preparing the kit. So when you're in that small team environment, if you lack good communication, it's a critical thing, because everybody is relying on you to do your particular job. And if they don't know what the status of what you're doing is, then it becomes a burden.
Yeah.
So communication was really something that was drummed into us, even to the point where when you were preparing an operation, you would know all your diving preparations off by heart. So your reports, you wouldn't need to look at anything. It was so drummed into you, the communication aspect, the signals. So that's, the comms was really, really pushed hard. The other thing is the leadership. Clearance divers are slightly strange, because even though you have your rank hierarchy, again, you're dealing with, you don't have strictly time to micromanage everybody in a small team environment for diving. So you're really, really relying on them to use their initiative and to make sure that they can get their particular job done, and then report back to you with the good comms, or for you to take the reports and know that something's been done. So the leadership element really stems, even from the beginning, it's self-leadership, really, because it's not like, say, a traditional large group, say a platoon or a company, etc., where you might have a mass leadership thing. Clearance divers normally work in these tiny groups. So the initiative and the leadership was really drummed into you from the start.
John, one thing that shines out there as well, and I'd love to know, in your perspective, how they build this. But there might be conscious or subconscious on reflection. There's probably things, and I know there's stuff in like the military terms that happens that you may be not aware of at the time. But obviously, from what you've shared already, small teams, the environment you're working in, the big thing that comes out to me is trust. Like, how important is that? And I know it's really important, but what sort of things did you do consciously or subconsciously to build those high performing teams and build that trust within people?
So again, on course, you know, that comes with shared experience, so that you're literally going through all these, you know, hugely testing, mental and physically testing things all day and all night, every day, with the same people. So you build up that trust, because, you know, you come to know them very, very well. And the trust thing, again, I mean, that literally is a matter of life or death when it comes to diving, because, you know, if you're preparing sets, etc., etc., the golden rule in diving is you would never dive a set that you haven't touched. However, all the peripheral gear and preparation, you know, that might be done by other people. So you're relying on them absolutely from, you know, the whole operation, to when you're in the water, to tending you, to the rescue diver, etc. So on the course itself, that comes through the shared experience. When you come to the units, again, because you're diving, operations normally are in very small units, whether it be on the bomb disposal side or whether it be on the diving side, you come to know people very, very well, because you're very rarely doing a large team exercise with everyone diving at the same time. So it would always really be broken down into those small groups. When it comes to training, again, it's just reinforced. It's reinforced with the the preparation side, the communication side, the reporting side, and then even the debrief side after the dives. So then you really get to a point where you know everybody in your particular unit, you know their strengths and weaknesses, and then that initiative side of it is never frowned upon in the clearance diver branch. It's actually promoted, you know, for guys to be able to take control regardless of their rank and get the job done.
Yeah, I love that. So from your perspective, for me, I call it the military bubble. Like I say about when I was in the military bubble, then obviously you've been out now. What sort of things can you see that you've maybe used outside to build the business or to deal with the people elements? Like what sort of things have you transferred from your time in the military in that quite high intense environment to be able to then add to your skill set outside? What sort of things have been showing up?
So for me, from when I started Holdfast, the biggest thing of all for me is the mindset. And what I mean by that is what the clearance diver branch taught me is the ethos really is there's no fuss, you know, there's no fanfare or glamour. Is if you want to be something, then you just get it done. And that's the biggest hurdle I think that most people in civilian life face when they can't do something. It's not that they can't do it, it's just that they're defeated before they even start. Mm. Whereas for me, going through clearance diver training, becoming a CD, and then afterwards really, really reinforced the mindset of if you want to do anything, then you just step forward and do it. You know, and if you fail at something the first time, well, that doesn't mean you walk away from it. It just means that you go back and try again. And so that mindset is something that starting the business is, regardless of whether it's someone who's working for me or how I'm trying to build the business to other people, it's really trying to get across that message that, you know, there's nothing to stop you from doing it apart from yourself. And when you step forward, you'll get the reward from that, and you spread that onwards. You spread that sort of positivity onwards. So that's the biggest thing, is the mindset. The other thing as well is, I think, trying to get across the discipline. We spoke about it earlier, you know, the time thing, for example, is trying to get across the accountability for someone to say, look, you know, if you're asked to do something, just get it done and then report back when you've done it, or, you know, let someone know that you've done it. That doesn't have to be this big sort of, again, this big fanfare about it. It's just, that's your task, do it, and then you'll get the reward, the company will grow, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I like that. So let's dig into what you offer as a business. We've got 3 minutes left. Goes really quickly. Tell us a little bit about, because again, it links to the company's ability to invest in team building, getting people together to test them, adapt to change, go outside your comfort zone. So to give us a little bit of a flavor about what you actually do.
So Holdfast Elite is an outdoor fitness challenge, a series of challenges. They're based on Royal Navy Mine Clearance Diver fitness training, only surface. So basically, in a nutshell, you turn up, I give you a wetsuit, a pair of wetsuit boots and a set of fins, and you do this fantastic fitness challenge in the water and on the land based on clearance diver training. Now, it's all about the mindset. It's all about fun, positivity and mindset, and getting people to do something that they instantly think, I can't do that. So we've run over 25 challenges now, and we've got a 100% five-star feedback. Everyone who comes and does a challenge walks away absolutely glowing with pride, achievement, mental and physical health. So we offer amazing team building on the challenges. We really, really push the mental and physical health side of it. And the beauty of the challenges are they're for everyone. So we've got some of the top schools in Scotland coming in August. We've had 4-5 Commando. We've had multiple Royal Navy University units. We've had several major charities. We've had bomb disposal units from the US, from the UK. We're now just starting to get some really big corporate businesses coming in. So the idea is that we want to get this nationwide, and it's really much, much bigger than an outdoor fitness challenge. It's about pushing that mindset, spreading that positivity.
I love that. So whereabouts are you again? Remind us where it is.
So we've got a main site in Perth in Scotland. We do beach challenges as well in East Lothian in Scotland. We've got a site in Cambridge, which is for military units only at the moment. But the idea is, the plan is that we're going to push this nationwide in the next 3 years and then really go bigger again, get it across the pond. Like I said, the plan is it's much, much bigger than an outdoor fitness challenge. It really is a crusade to get people to go, do you know what? There's nothing to stop me doing anything I want. Just step forward and get it done.
I know, what a great way of finishing the podcast as well, because that links to everything we've talked about so far as well. And I love, I was going to pick it up, but you've covered it already, which is great, about the element of fun. Like, having that element of fun is so important because it binds people together. And especially in this world of digital, and we're adding value to those when you do get together, it's for a really good reason. We're not just ticking boxes. So I love that concept. So Rob, thank you so much for your time. Ladies and gents, if you enjoyed that, make sure you let us know which bits you can resonate with, which bits you thought were really good. And if you're watching us on the YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe. And if you're listening to us as you go by your day, and make sure you follow. And every week we've got some amazing people to add value to your leadership journey. So Rob, thank you so much again.
No problem, Stuart. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. And we'll see you all next week, ladies and gents. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.